Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sam Legasic.
And I'm Dreadful Dan Gallagher. And we're two old buddies that have lived our life at the edge of the mainstream.
So come join us where things are a little odd.
This is the
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. And here with me is Dreadful Danji.
Hello, everybody, and Sam.
Oh, everybody and me. That's how God likes to see it as well.
Yeah, on a different pedestal.
Yeah, exactly. Just looking up at everyone. So today we are going to do another hit and a shit. This is where we take a band, an artist of some sort, and we have a song that we like and a song that we don't like. Hence the hit and shitness. So, God, if you're listening to this and you don't know that by now, then...
God help your soul.
Exactly. You should know. You should know. It's bloody obvious in the title, isn't it? God's sake. But that's how we're going to do it. So and today we're going to be talking about Queens of the Stone Age. Let's have a listen.
Bloody good band, this, Queens of the Stone Age, and a bit of a step back into the past and a walk down memory lane again for you and me, isn't it? I think a favourite of ours in the late 90s. I got into Queens of the Stone Age right from the very off because basically when that first album came out, I heard Dave Grohl being interviewed on the radio and they said like, oh, what's a cool band that everyone should be listening to? And he said Queens of the Stone Age, because obviously he was a big Caius fan. So I actually got that album in 1998 and I loved it.
Yeah. And I remember specifically seeing the cover, listening to it and being like, this is great. And I think I taped it off you, which probably sounds about right. I don't think I bought my own cover until much, much later. Bought my own version until much later. Weirdly, like, right, with that album, I saw, like, there was a thing that got thrown up where it was, like, the top Queens of the Stone Age albums ranked, right?
Right.
And the bottom of the list was the first album. I was like,
well,
are you mad?
Yeah. So this is it, because then, obviously, after that, they kind of went off in a bit of a different direction and they got a lot more... they got a lot more fans. on a major label, different sound. So I guess a lot of people think that they are that, which is more of a kind of, to me, mainstream hard rock band. Yeah. Whereas that first album is definitely more in the old kind of stoner rock camp, which I prefer. So it's easily their best album, in my opinion, Head and Shoulders. But yeah, when Rated R came out, then obviously like really excited and was really into it.
Mm.
But then when 2002 Songs for the Deaf came out, was not into that. And at that point...
Are you joking?
At that point, well, then I looked back and I was like, yeah, actually, Rated R's not as good as I thought it was at the time. I can see the beginning of this sound. To me, Songs for the Deaf, it's just too clean and it's just really polished commercial rock. Don't particularly like that, like the single, No One Knows.
Yeah.
And
probably their biggest hit.
Yeah. It just wasn't the sound for me, basically. I've only ever heard it a handful of times, that album. And that was it. I dropped off.
Okay.
I dropped off. And it wasn't until what album then came out a bit later on? Like Clockwork.
Yeah. Oh my God, you took that much of a hiatus.
Yeah, I'd skipped like 3 or 4 albums.
Fucking hell.
And someone, I think when I left a job, they didn't know what to get me. So they bought me just like 10 albums on CD. And some guy bought me like Clockwork. And I was like, this is really good. But then I haven't stuck with them since then. So yeah, that's where I am with Queens of the Stone Age. I found this, yeah, kind of a bit difficult to negotiate, actually.
I'm actually really surprised about that, I'm going to be honest. So I guess, for me, that first album was amazing. And I still think it's an amazing album, to be honest. Then yeah, Rated R, came out after that. And that was very like, you've got Nick Olivieri, I think it's his name, like shouting a lot. this is when I started seeing them live. I was probably with you. I imagine you'd have gone to a few of these gigs as well.
We saw them definitely in 2000 supporting Foo Fighters.
Oh, really?
At the Stratford Rex.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I didn't even realise I saw them back then. Mm-hmm. Some good memory, but yeah, I know I've seen Queens of the Stone Age a few times. But yeah, it would have been, I don't think we saw them with that first album.
No.
But yeah, Rated R sounds, I definitely saw them during Rated R days anyway. But that album, I was like, there's some really good tracks here, but it's different, it's not the kind of stoner rock. And I like, and also that, like, you know, Nicotine, that Feel Good Hit of the Summer,
yeah,
the actual song. I remember thinking, like, I don't actually like this song that much, like. I think it's literally kind of like a novelty song a little bit, but I do like a lot of the others sitting on this album.
Yeah.
And then Songs for the Deaf came out, and that's why I'm completely shocked, actually, because that is, for me, hands down the best Queens of the Stone Age album. Not only the best Queens of the Stone Age album, it's one of my favorite albums of all time.
Wow.
Because for many, many reasons. One, it was like it kind of became a super group in that it got Mark Lanegan was doing more, basically. And I love his vocals on these songs as well. And some of that kind of like, give it some of that like bluesy kind of tone. You've got Dave Grohl doing what I would say is the best drumming he's ever done on anything. Wow. Ever.
Okay.
And especially like, and during this time, I think I went, oh God, what was I at? I think I was at a festival or something. And I'm pretty sure he was drumming, and it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, because the drumming on that album, especially when you see it like live, it is like absolutely astounding. And the drums are turned up pretty high on that album as well. So you kind of, they're very much aware that it's great. And yeah, it's just such a, I like the way that it's a concept album of going from like, I believe it's going from like LA to the desert, basically.
Okay.
So, and that's kind of supposed to be the idea.
I know there's little like radio.
That's right, yeah. So it's a radio thing. It's kind of supposed to be like you're in the car driving, drive into it. And I like the way the album is laid out. I like the fact that there's like, it kind of comes in and out with the radio stuff, and I enjoy that because it makes me want to listen to it in full. Every time I put it on, I want to start at the beginning and make my way through it because it feels like that's how it should be listened to.
Yeah.
And like every single song on there, I'm just like, it's amazing. Just love it. Every single one, like even the ones which are like, sometimes I listen to an album, it's like, you know, Do It Again, for instance. It's like, I'm just like, oh, it's kind of like, whatever, yeah, listen, all right, Do It Again. And then when it gets to the chorus bit, I'm just like, fucking hell, I love this song. Forgot how much I love it. And it's not even like the near one of the best songs of the album. So yeah, for me, this was by far and away like, but the one thing, and you are completely right, is that No One Knows just got played to death. And I don't think it's that great a song. I think it's all right. Yeah. I think it's quite like a, because you've got that first track, you think I'm worth a dollar for like a minute. It's just kind of like screamy, shouty Nick Olivieri, and it's kind of like da 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 da, and it kind of thumps you around the face a little bit.
Yeah.
Then you've got this like, dun, can't get, do, do, do. But I quite like the whole like, it sounds weird. Like the pace is a bit weird. And then you've got that cool like Dave Grohl drumming at the end, you know, it kind of like really builds up and then do, 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 and then back.
I
like that. So I know what you're saying about a bit, but I think that's more to do with the fact that I think that's you looking back on it and maybe it being like their big pop song rather than if you maybe like sat with it and listened to it beginning to end again, I think you might appreciate it more.
Yeah.
I think got like First It Giveth, and then First It Giveth. It's great.
No One Knows, you know, I bought that when it came out, actually. I've still got the 7-inch single. Right. So I did like it, I think, initially, and then I just probably through like overexposure got a bit annoyed and bored with it.
Yeah, and that's I mean, like that, another one is Go With The Flow, where
I don't really like that one.
See, I really like that, but it's the same. It's a kind of Territorial Pissings thing a little bit, where it's like it's this big, fast kind of like thing that kind of comes in and out, like it's like breakneck speed almost, but then. Yeah, it kind of sometimes you're just like, I've listened to it too much because it's my always like go-to track when it's just like I'm, I don't know, going for a run or doing whatever. It's like it's just on all my playlists. And now it's like, well, okay, I don't really want to listen to that because I've listened to it about a million times. So I'm not really doing. But yeah, so that just surprised me. And then
what's missing is like that like slow, dry, spacey kind of stuff. That's on the first album. That's what I loved. And then sort of represented a bit on Rated R. Songs like Leg of Lamb, I really like. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of like, that's not here. And it just feels like they've totally transformed into just like a commercially focused MTV ready rock band.
Yeah. I think it's funny you say that. Yeah, sorry, go on.
And there's a few songs here. And I think when I heard them, because they're re-recorded from the Desert Sessions stuff. So I had all the Desert Sessions and I liked all that. So as well, I'm like, oh, they've just, because that's what they did as well. They did on their other albums is re-record songs from Desert Sessions. But here I was really like, they sound worse to me. So Millionaire and Hanging Tree.
Yeah.
I was just like, I prefer the old versions. And that kind of soured me a bit as well. I think at the time, I just wasn't in the right mood, actually, for this album at that time. And it coincided with the point where the Foo Fighters became utter shit as well. I think I was just a bit burnt out on all of it.
Well, that's why it's kind of funny as well, is because, the Foo Fighters had got shit. And then Dave Grohl had pretty much straight away done this incredible drumming on what I thought was this amazing, quite dark, slightly weirdly bluesy, rock thing, but it felt quite heavy and thick. But that's the kind of problem, right? Is that afterwards, I feel like the first album had its own style. The second album kind of had its own style, and it was a bit more weirder, like, you know, Rated R. I felt a bit more stranger.
Yeah.
Then this one, Songs for the Deaf, was kind of like there, like, we're going to make a big concept album. We're going to kind of, you know, really go at it. We've got fucking Dave Grohl drums. We're really going to hit hard. And it worked. And then for me, it just kind of tapered out a little bit because it's like, I was like, I don't know how you can beat that. And then Lullabies to Paralyze came out, which I thought had some okay songs, but it sounded weird. Like I was just like, I don't really know what's happening here. weirdly, Era Vulgaris, which is often looked over, I really fucking love. And I think it's got some great fucking songs on there.
Yeah. But people don't talk about it.
Yeah. It's weird. No one talks about it. And I'm just like, I had that going in rotation on my car for, I want to say like 2 years or something stupid when that came out. Like it didn't leave. And it's because it's just got some great, and it's a little bit weird again. It's a bit like Rated I in that sense where it's like, it's got tracks that they're trying to do something a bit quirky or something with, which I thought was quite interesting. And then, yeah, like I remember like Clockwork coming out. I can't believe that's 2013. But I remember thinking, yeah, this is okay. Like this is kind of going back a little bit. This is a bit like Safer Ground or whatever. Fine. I think maybe Era Vulgaris was maybe a bit too out there for maybe what people were expecting. And then Villains, I haven't really listened to properly, but I just don't like what I've heard. And it's got a weird, they've gone for like a different sound, and then literally like a different sound, like it's produced weird, and I don't think I like it. Like hats off for maybe trying to do something new, but it's like you're still kind of writing the same music, but you're, instead of trying to like mix things up musically, it's like you're trying to do it in the suite or something. You're trying to do it through production.
Yeah.
It's like that's not necessarily the best way of doing it, but yeah, and it's hard to believe that's 2017, because again that feels like it was only yesterday, but it's not. So anyway, wow. We've talked about that for ages already, haven't we?
Bloody hell. Yeah. Well, we've had some big revelations to deal with.
I know. I can't get over that. Like I've honestly, like, I just presumed everyone thought it was the best Queens album, and especially you being a big fan of Dave Grohl. Yeah. And like, it's much better than any of the stuff he was drumming on, like fucking Nirvana or even Foo's or anything like that. It's like hard, it's crazy. Like if you hear like the live version of, of some of those songs, let's say, with Dave drumming, it is like, shit, fuck, that's just it. So you can't, what drummer's going to kind of beat that? There isn't one, in my opinion. Anyway, but let's start with one of the ones that you like though. Let's start with your hit.
Well, I obviously kind of thought, I'll pick something from the first album. And then I thought, that's really predictable because you'll be expecting me to do that.
Yeah.
So I've actually pulled out a song that I really, really, really like from like Clockwork.
Okay.
And that is My God Is the Sun. Sam, remember that one? Familiar with
that? Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's I always remember that that riff do 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 do.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's that's the thing with Josh Homme generally, is that it does come up with some really fucking cool riffs. Yeah, I like the song. I don't love it. I wouldn't say that this is like the best Queens of the Stone Age song or anything like that. It kind of ranks for me like near the between the middle and the top, I'd say. So it's, I definitely don't dislike it. I think it's quite cool and nice, but it's not, it doesn't burn itself into my memory, put it that way. But you really like it then, do you?
Yeah, I mean, despite everything I'd sort of said earlier, if I think about, yeah, this kind of like more heavy rock sound, then this is one of my favourites in that kind of sphere. I just think, yeah, really cool riff. And you think, after the first kind of intro bit, it's going to kind of dip down. But that kind of bass keeps going. Just like carries it in a kind of different vibe to anything else. And kind of like not what you expect. And a really good vocal. Like classic kind of like Josh Homme drool. He's like bluesy, kind of really kind of like understated, really cool. Don't give a fuck kind of vocal.
Yeah.
And then like, bam, big exciting chorus. And after not hearing the band for, 12 years at that point.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, actually, yeah, they're still doing some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, cool. Fair enough. I might start with my shit.
Oh, about that. Controversial.
To mix it up a little bit. So, yeah, I guess this was quite difficult. It's quite difficult to choose a shit song because I don't really think there is a particularly like shit Queens of Stone Age song. There are songs that are worse than others, but there's not, for me, I don't feel like there's like a handful of like standout, this is dreadful kind of stuff. But the one I chose is off the new album, actually. Well, new, the latest one, Villains. And it is Domesticated Animals. Let's have a listen.
Today is the day the wilderness comes to reclaim everything. Burning bridge lights up the sky. Zip your lip until you've picked a side. You get right up and sit back down. A revolution.
So Dan, what do you think? Had you heard that before?
No, I hadn't. I was really hypnotized actually by that song because it wasn't what I expected at all. And I was just kind of enthralled, like listening to, what's going on here? What's going on there? And it progressed in a way I totally didn't expect. I kind of liked it. I can see why you picked it. I don't know how I feel about it. It's definitely, it's cool that they've done something really quite different, but I don't know if it quite works. Is that what you feel?
Yeah, it feels very like new Queens of Stone Age. Like, okay, this is like what they're doing now kind of thing. I thought it was quite slow and a bit self-indulgent, and also like I think like he's trying to be like David Bowie or something at some points.
That's exactly what I thought. It's that detached, aloof, cold, that kind of like Thin White Duke era Bowie. A little bit Station to Station kind of, and actually it's got all that kind of like jerky rhythm and everything. It's like a, it's kind of like a bit more like new wavy disco-y.
Yeah.
But then it hasn't got like the new wavy disco-y production. It's still kind of like got the Queens of the Stone Age-y type sounds in there. And then some weird little bits as well.
Yeah.
So, I find it quite difficult to get a handle on what this is.
Mm. Yeah, I just find it boring. Basically, it kind of does like, yeah, some bits at the end or whatever, and it does whatever. Fine, but I'm just like,
emotionally, it doesn't really go anywhere.
Fucking hell, it's just three. It's like someone's like just picked up a guitar or something, which is weird for like Josh Homme. I don't really like it. Sorry, that was my shit.
Weird one. Do you want to hit us up with something good though, so we don't get two shits in a row?
Okay. Yeah, I'll hit you up with a hit then. This was really tough. And it came down to three songs, but really I think it came down to two songs for me. So the one that I've chosen is from Songs for the Deaf, and it is Song for the Dead. Song for Dan?
It's all right. It's okay. My thoughts on that were the first minute, if he had a different guitar pedal, that was like pure thrash. That was quite cool, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then I liked, then it segued into that, like, kind of the more, like, more typical Queens of the Stone Age territory, where it's like, oh.
Yeah.
And then that main bulk of the song, yeah, it was okay. And then towards the end, it kind of went back to the thrashy part, but it sounded a hell of a lot like All My Life.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The same thrashy part on All My Life.
Okay.
But yeah, who's that singing? Is that Mark Lanegan?
Yeah.
I think.
I presume so, yeah.
I think I don't. I didn't like Mark Lanegan in Queens of the Stone Age as well.
Did you not? Fuck, mate. Love him in Queens of the Stone Age.
I liked the first album. And I liked that it was three guys,
yeah,
you know, who'd all been in Caius. Because when the drummer was that guy, what's his name? Alfredo something.
Right.
When they started.
I can't remember.
He'd been. He was the drummer in Caius towards the end. He played on When the Circus Leaves Town. So it was those two, and they brought back Nick. And it was like, that was Queens of the Stone Age. And then by the second album, it's like Mark Lanegan, and there's a different drummer, and there's just like loads of, it seems like there's like seven guys now. Yeah. And then by the time it's Songs for the Deaf, it's just like basically whoever I feel like I want in the band.
Yeah.
And it's just like a revolving thing. And I didn't like that. Because Desert Sessions had that like revolving door project approach.
Yeah, but Dan, what do you think about this song?
Well, it's got Mark Lanegan, and you know, I'd rather if just Josh sang. And
that final minute,
yeah,
like when I listen to that song really loud, that final minute, I'm just like, it just blasts me in the face with pure growlness. And that's what I believe, especially during this time, this is what they kind of would close their sets out with. And they would just like basically keep it going until like, you know, it felt like a natural end, basically, and all that. And it's just like the most intense fucking cathartic things. Kind of what I was saying before. It's like, just, it's insane. Like these songs live, like, I don't know, maybe I'm being biased to it just for that. But yeah, like I love every single song of that. But that one song is the one where I'm just like, when I hear that and turn it up, it's all building up to that final minute for me. And then it's just like hell hath unleashed itself and I'm like lapping it up.
Where did you see them with Dave on drums?
I don't remember.
Because I forgot he toured with them as well.
Yeah.
Briefly after this.
It's where he had his like, his shitty kind of weird bowl haircut thing, if you remember.
Yeah.
I always forget like how bloody young he was, if you know what I mean, like, especially in like Nirvana and all this stuff, but then doing Foos and all that.
Yeah.
And like to us, he was like an adult when really he was only like 10 years older or something than us at the time.
Jesus.
Yeah. It just makes you think like, and we think, oh yeah, back when we were kids, like Monkey Wrench or whatever. And it's like, well, he wasn't that much older. Yeah. You think about it now, like Yeah, think about where the Foo Fighters were 10 years ago. That's where we are now. And what have we done? Nothing.
Shut up. They may be discussing your hit, not...
Yeah, sorry.
Mediating on a...
Hitting waste, you with a life lesson.
Waste of life.
Yeah. So, that was the hit. So, what's next on your list?
Well, it means we've got to end on a shit, which is a bit of a downer. But the good news is, like you, I really don't think they've got anything that's really shit. Not that I'm aware of, anyway. Like I said, I don't really know Lullabies to Paralyze, and I know a lot of people kind of say that's maybe their worst. So maybe there's something hiding out on that album that's genuinely bad.
There's a few. I don't know. Like, I don't mind Lullabies to Paralyze. Like, you've got Little Sister on there, which is pretty good. Burn the Witch, I quite like. In my head, I don't mind. I quite like that as well. I mean, those are the three songs in the middle, really. But I know, like, this, yeah, it was a weird, Lullabies Paralyzed was a weird thing to follow Songs of the Dead, Death up with. And it's also like, I do remember, because that cover as well, like the previous covers, I don't know, like it was a weird cover to kind of go with because it's just like nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't a very commercial move as well, like waiting 3 years and then just releasing something that looks quite bland.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. Okay, cool. So what is it? What's your shit?
Well, then I was like, they've definitely done some covers that aren't that good.
Mm.
Like a lot of the covers in the early days. But I was like, that's a bit cheap, picking a cover. Yeah. So I have gone with Ode to Clarissa.
Saw them do this live as well. I know what you mean though. Like, there's an element, like with all the Nick stuff, it's like, I don't know, like some people are like, yeah, because he brought in that energy and like and like that kind of randomness or whatever and that kind of intensity, and then I'm like, yeah, but at the same time it's just like there's an element where it just feels like he's shouting a lot, if you know what I mean. But this is kind of one of those things where it's like, I feel like, I don't know, like, I don't know who wrote it specifically or whatever, but like trying to do an actual song here and make it a little bit catchy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can see why, same kind of thing. I see why you've chosen it. But I wouldn't say it's shit, but then I wouldn't have said mine is shit either. So
yeah, it's just a bit weak, I think.
Yeah. It's a bit nothing.
Yeah, and apparently it's a Nick and Josh co-write, so I don't know what that means, but yeah, it definitely feels like more of a Nick song, but it's not like the other Nick songs. And obviously he had that other band around this time. Oh, I can't remember what it's called, like Tension.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, something like that.
Which was more shouty. This feels like a bit of like a pastiche almost of like a. Like bluesy rock and roll kind of song.
Yeah.
Bit of like a throwback, but it just doesn't work for me. It's not really anything interesting about it.
No, it just feels like they've been in a jam. They've just done that little hook. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm the one. Yeah. And then they're like, okay, well, that's kind of a song. Let's just record it. There's something there. But there's no, like, it doesn't feel like there's any thought or love, attention really given to it properly.
Yeah. And quite rightly, it was just a B-side. So, mm-hmm. You know, we can't give it too hard a time, but yeah, I really struggled to find something I could really really dig into. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's the thing, is that that's the kind of thing I always feel like has bothered Queens of Stone Age, is that as time's gone on, it's just a lot of like, not shit, but just a lot of mediocrity, a lot of there's a lot of sounds and songs kind of, yeah, okay, it's a Queens of Stone Age song. But like nothing like, oh, that was, what was that kind of thing, which you had beforehand, or like, God, that's a weird thing to do. That's made me, it's piqued my interest.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's less of that, which is weird because that era of Vulgaris, I think, had a fair bit of that and it just didn't really do very well. So I don't know. I don't know what people like or want. I think, I don't know. I would like them to like come back like and do, and just fucking just knock something out of the park. Because that's the thing I always think with bands like this, is they get a bit lazy with it all.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh yeah, you know, I've got my setup. You know, this is the guitars I use. These are the pedals I use. This is the studio. This is the producer. And then we're going to just, let's knock out another 12 songs that I kind of been messing around with a little bit. And, you know, it's fine. Rather than like, okay, cool, I'm going to sit here, do this. Maybe if I try that, maybe if I do that, maybe if I listen to something else and I try and incorporate that in, I don't know, maybe he is doing all that, but I don't know, it just feels a little bit like they find their groove and then they just get a bit boring. And it's weird because I was like looking at, randomly, I was just getting into The Cure a little bit more. And I was thinking, it's fucking weird, like the, because I was thinking, like, you kind of hear songs and you can kind of tell it's a Cure song. Mainly it's because of its voice, really. But they do have really like eclectic material out there, like from the really fucking poppy pop to like the really dark shit to like this. And, if, you know, you forget that they've been going since like fucking 70s.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Like a really super long time. They've just done loads of stuff. And he's always, you know, Robert Smith has always tried to be like, I'm trying to do something different all the time and keep it interesting and whatever. And I think that, you know, that adds to it. And then like, I'm going from like that recently and then like listening to these Queens of the Stone Age songs. I'm just like, it's all the fucking same. Like these, any, that Villains album, okay, it's produced a bit differently or whatever. It sounds a bit differently. But that could have been any time in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
To be honest. And that's what I mean. It's 20 years since fucking Songs for the Deaf. It's 20 years ago.
Personally, I'd like if he just did the first album over and over again.
Yeah, I think you've had that. I don't think you ever go back to doing that. But there's a gap. I do think there's genuinely like a gap in that stoner rock that's not actually stoner rock.
Yeah.
It's like, it kind of got labelled as stoner rock, but he Josh Homme is always adamant where he's like, it's not stoner rock. Like it got labelled as that, but that's not what it's supposed to be. But I think there's, you know, I think there's something there that people can still tap into before he starts going all like a bit wanky and bluesy and just having like holding a note for like 2 minutes. Do you know what I mean? And just seeing where that takes you and how you can dance around it a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't think he'd do anything like that again.
He's a great guitarist, a great riff writer, and he's got a cool voice.
Yeah.
And there's so much you could do with that.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I can't imagine what is next. I think the last thing they did, I remember seeing was another Desert Sessions album.
Okay. Well, I thought they were going to bring back, what was the one he did with the Led Zeppelin guy?
And Them Crooked Vultures.
Yeah, aren't they doing another Them Crooked Vultures thing? Or maybe
well, like a lockdown version.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, we haven't got anything to do, so maybe we can all Skype each other.
Yeah, do that again.
Oh man, did you see that Foo Fighters Times Like These? Sorry, completely off on a tangent here. But.
Well, yeah, there's not much tangent. Dave Grohl was in Queens of Stone Age for a bit. Yeah, that's I didn't actually watch it, no, but I saw clips of it when people were talking about it and I was like, I don't like it.
It's the same thing as weird. Like, you know, we spoke about in the last Hit and the Shit episode we did where we spoke about Gone Away by The Offspring. It's that moment where you see one of these guys decide to reach back into their past because they've got a song that's so fucking reverent and they just think it's so good and that, you know, let's do this big pompous overblown version. And it's Times Like These, which is like such a shit song.
Mm.
One of people the worst songs on their worst album. Yeah, they like it because it's been around for 20 years now.
Yeah, it's dad rock.
It's horrible. And I actually saw it, I think like Christmas Day, I turned the TV on and it was just like opportune. It was coming on. It was one of those horrible, cheesy lockdown things. It was all like people in different corners of the fucking TV screen singing. And there was Dave, like, screwing up his face, like, trying to be, like, so emotional. And I was just like, this is disgusting.
Mm.
So at least Josh hasn't done that.
It's weird, yeah. Well, Dave did that thing with his keyboardist mate where they did, I think we talked about this already, where he did each day he covered a new song. Which is quite interesting. That's when he did the Peaches thing, and then Peaches actually turned up weirdly in it. Hats off to him, like whatever. He's done loads in lockdown. He's just released a fucking film, hasn't he? About his van, or whatever, touring van.
Yeah.
And he's doing a series with his mum. I don't know if maybe that's the same thing. I'm not sure.
Stuff with his daughter.
People are going to be like, what? That was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Whoops. These are kind of put on the put on the shelf when we need them. That's a bit of a peek behind the curtain there. If that's why that doesn't make sense. Well, let's see. I mean, that's the thing. You could be dead by the time this goes out. Like, what are they talking about? He died. So that's it.
That's Queens of the Stone Age. Mostly hits, and some nice stuff in the middle.
Yeah, they're still a good, great band, but we just want to see what more you got, Josh. don't give up on us, and don't just keep, to try something. Just try something. Don't write a Queens. Go in thinking I'm not going to write a Queens of the Stone Age album, and see what you come out with.
Yeah.
That's the advice I'd give. And he listens to this, obviously. So. No problemo. There is a connection because I'm friends with acquaintances, used to be friends, but he doesn't talk to me anymore, with Matt Berry, who did, it's his show, Toast of London, and Josh Homme acted in it. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
It's a character in it. So,
one episode or?
Yeah, an episode. So he must like Matt. I think I vaguely spoke to Matt about it years ago, but he's a bit like, yeah, cool. There is a connection there. So maybe I'll just go and tap Matt up and say, look, can you sort Josh out?
Cheers. Yeah, because probably no one's ever said that to him. We could revitalize his career. No one's just said, Josh, can you make a better album?
Apart from his label. Well, that's it for now. But thanks everyone for listening, and keep getting stoned. I was going to say keep stoning. I don't know.
Yeah, rock out with Queensryche.
Yeah, quatsa.
Lots of quatsa.
Yeah, okay, that'll do. Let's end on that. Right, thanks everyone. Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. If you want to get in touch with us or get a movie, album or game put on our list to discuss, then email us at oddcastoddballs@gmail.com or anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. This is part of a New Winter Podcast Network, so head on over to anewwinter.net to check out our other shows. You can also follow us on Instagram @anewwinter, Twitter @anewwinter, and you can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/anewwinter. Thanks for listening and see you again soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.